top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional.
Good afternoon. It is time for the afternoon news for today.
Big Station.
Friday, April 12, 2024. I am Richie Farrell in the headlines. UWP Deputy Leader and Attorney-at-Law Ronald Charles calls for the adoption of WHO regulations on universal health care in Dominica.
Local, regional, and global. Only on...
A no-confidence motion against Barbadian Democratic Labour Party President Dr. Ronnie Yearwood and General Secretary Steve Blackett was stalled by procedural issues but hangs over their heads. The U.S. has told its embassy personnel in Israel not to travel outside the Greater Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, or Beersheba areas
when it happens,
out of an abundance of caution amid fears of an attack by Iran. The news is brought to you with the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited. More details when we come back.
Spurts might mean it's time for a bigger fridge. Don't worry, at Courts, we've got you with a TCL 16.5 cubic foot fridge for only $3,199. Or maybe you're ready to turn your home entertainment up a notch. That means a larger TV. We've got you with an LG 60-inch smart UHD smart 4K TV. Excited about making your new home feel more like you? We've got you. Get the Perth 3-piece living room set with a cup holder for only $5,299. Or shop Ashley Furniture for great deals and free furniture pieces today. Need a better mattress for more restful sleep? We've got the size and comfort that's right for you. Save $450 on the Restonic Comfort Care Pillow Top Queen Mattress. Save today and pay later. Whatever you need, we've got you. With up to 30% off SOI Quartz, bringing value home.
Welcome back. Speaking on the rights of Dominicans on Anthony Drago's TDN Network podcast on April 10th, 2024, United Workers Party Deputy Leader and Attorney-at-Law Ronald Charles is encouraging Dominica's government to ensure that it provides improved opportunities for making healthcare services accessible and more affordable for the Dominican citizenry. Charles emphasizes that without a healthy citizenry, a country's economy would fail, leading to complete chaos. He based his comments on the World Health Organization's reference to universal human rights. According to the WHO, human rights are universal rights of all human beings, regardless of race, color, sex, language, religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin, property, birth, or other status. The right to health and other health-related human rights are legally binding commitments enshrined in international human rights instruments. WHO's constitution also recognizes the right to health. Every human being has the right to the highest attainable standard of physical and mental health. Charles recommends that the government of Dominica adopts this approach to primary health care in Dominica.
Government, right, have that obligation to ensure it people and the health status is on point. No, we heard nurse speak of people are afraid to even go to the hospital to do basic to get basic treatment and so forth. You can't have a healthcare system where persons are afraid. Persons supposed to be confident that if somebody's at home and they're suffering for something, they could say, take me to the hospital, because they know that there is where they're supposed to get proper health. And that is a right. Because as I said earlier in my opening remarks, if there are malpractices when I get there, for whatever reasons, the court will give you an opening to be able to take those who are responsible for their negligence act, take them to court and get redress.
And that is where the right comes in.
That right is fundamental, because it is saying that not because, you know, persons have a right, to take care of themselves and to do what they have to do as an individual. However, it places emphasis on the state providing the necessary facilities and trained individuals to be able to sustain that important aspect of our community.
UWP Deputy Leader and Attorney at Law, Ronald Charles. General Manager at the Dominica Water and Sewage Company, Dowasco Limited, Bernard Etinoff, has confirmed the company's intention to increase the cost of pipe-borne water to consumers. Speaking to Q95 News on Wednesday, Mr. Etinoff revealed that Dominicans will not see a large increase in their bill. However, this needs to be done in order to maintain Dowasco's operations. It has been 13 years since Dowasco issued a rate increase for pipe-borne water in Dominica.
Yes, well, we have been in discussion, in negotiations with the government for quite some time on a rate increase for water. I will tell you that it's over 13 years since the Wasco has not had a rate increase or a rate change. As we all know, the price of everything has gone up. Thanks to the government of Dominica, they have subsidized and have been subsidizing this thing for quite some time, paying all our loans and all those things all the time. So that is why we're able to keep afloat and keep operating. But I believe the time has come when there has to be a rate change, you know, a tariff review, a tariff increase. Well, I believe, you know, in discussions with government, something we will come up with something that is really not going to be exorbitant on the people, certainly not, but will give the Wasco a little breathing space and probably allow the Wasco to pay some of its loans and meet its costs without having to burden the government all the time. So we are in that discussion, and as soon as the decision is made, we will certainly inform everybody.
General Manager of Dowasco, Bernard Etinoff. This is Q95 News. President of the Dominica Business Forum, DBF Inc., Mr. Darrell Bob, has highlighted the electoral reform proposals that were made by the DBF Inc. during the national consultation, which followed Sir Dennis Byron's report. Among these recommendations is the annual cleansing of the voters list, which involves scrutinizing the inclusion of individuals who are considered ordinarily resident in Dominica. Mr. Bob elaborated on the definition of ordinarily resident in relation to this specific reform proposal within electoral legislation.
To achieve the overarching goals of free and fair elections that would preserve the Commonwealth of Dominica's constitutional right to choose its government, and even more importantly, to preserve the rule of law in Dominica, the Dominica Business Forum, Inc., in collaboration with the organizations and individuals who participated in the review process at the national consultation on August 3, 2023, at which Sir Dennis Byron made a presentation, proposes the following. The voters list should be cleansed annually, not merely of deceased persons, but also of anyone who has not been ordinarily resident in Dominica for at least 5 years. Unless otherwise provided, the right to vote is limited to a citizen of Dominica of 18 years or older who is ordinarily resident in Dominica at the time of the calling of an election. For the purpose of this legislation, the definition of ordinarily resident is as follows. Ordinarily resident means a regular and habitual mode of life in Dominica, as opposed to a temporary sojourn, vacation, visit, or transitory presence, does not include the provisions including Commonwealth citizens, which remain unchanged.
Bob further emphasized that within the array of recommendations, the organization advocates for the elimination of overseas registration of voters. Instead, they propose a thorough re-registration process for persons who are resident overseas.
There shall be no overseas registrations of voters. However, confirmation of overseas voters should be done on a thorough basis with the production of a government-issued identification card or passport by the voter. The Electoral Commission shall have the authority to remove from the voters list the names of all persons who have not resided in Dominica for a minimum of 5 years. Dominicans who have ordinarily resident overseas who are 18 years or older can vote in two virtual constituencies to elect representatives representatives who would represent, or yes, who would represent the interests of Dominicans abroad. This provision would involve a constitutional change. On the day of elections, it is an offense for an elections officer to ask a voter for his or her ballot before the voter places the ballot into a ballot box. General elections shall be held on a fixed day every 5 years. These provisions would involve constitutional change. The constitution should provide for a hybrid system of first past the post and one of proportional representation as a counterweight against the concentration of an abuse of power by a prime minister and his or her party.
President of the DBF, Daryl Bob. President of NJAM, economist and former DFP leader, Kent Vital, advises the security administration that the people of Dominica mean business when it comes to the matter of securing appropriate electoral reforms in the not-too-distant future. Kent Vital added that his movement, along with the Electoral Reform Coalition, is calling for the new draft legislations to be made public by government and to allow adequate time for review by stakeholders before it is tabled in Parliament for debate.
And that's what we are calling for. Have a fair set of reforms that's not in favor of the incumbent government, that is fair, as the word says. And if that's the case, then everything will be fine. So we wait to see that. And we would love to be surprised. Surprise me, I'm really waiting for that. But if he does not do that, if he does something that's unjust, if he presents draft legislation that doesn't present a certain minimum number of reforms that will result in fair and fair elections, what must we do? Well, we definitely have to make the government know that we mean business. We, the people, all of us, we have to make the government know that we mean business. And I think we have well started on that process already. The Electoral Reform Commission organized the rally where we were graced with the presence of the senator from Trinidad. That was well attended, and people are listening, and we are energizing people, and people are, we have to continue to rally together. And then there was the meeting on the ARC where a great number of Dominicans came together. And what was very encouraging to me is that there were a number of young people there. What was also very encouraging is that there were many laborites there as well. So clearly we have to continue momentum. Then we went on to Grand Bay, and we've got to continue building momentum and continue putting our people in a mood.
President of NJAM and economist Kent Vital. Nurse and midwife Rosie Felix says Dominica's healthcare services need to be reformed. As it stands, she says the administration responsible for the public healthcare system has failed the Dominican people. She calls for increased investments in Dominica's healthcare system and in the Ministry of Health to address the following: salary increases for healthcare providers, procurement of medication, increased training, personal protective equipment, enhancing human resource capacity, and a further reduction of medical costs for the public.
As a nurse, when I seek healthcare, my personal experience has always been a good experience. But when you listen to the general public, and when persons tell me their experiences, and when I do an evaluation, I'll tell you a few years ago, before the board was first established, we had to make, various organizations was asked to make recommendations, and a lot of recommendations were made, and if I have to evaluate, I'd fail our health system, because PAHO had evaluated our primary healthcare system, considering where our primary healthcare system was, where we are now. I sought what my International Nurses Organization had to say about the theme for World Health Day, and with some focus being put on universal health coverage, the president said, unfortunately, our member countries have failed in their investment into health. Hence, we are far from universal health coverage. So if I'm to use universal health coverage as the yardstick, you know, we are far from there.
And that was nurse and midwife Rosie Felix. Now, a case of incest has been confirmed to have occurred in Antigua, where a 51-year-old father had sexual intercourse with his 11-year-old daughter, This occurred between the period 2014 to 2015. At the time, the daughter informed her school counselor of the matter, after which the counselor contacted the authorities and had the young girl initially removed from the home. According to the Daily Observer in St. John's, the now 25-year-old victim told the court on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, that before she could leave with the authorities, she was encouraged by her father to lie to the authorities by writing a statement stating that she fabricated the story and would like to return home. Since that time, the father has been having sexual intercourse with his daughter. She got pregnant in June 2014. The father came home drunk and had sex with the victim outside of the house. Following that night, in December 2014, this young minor became pregnant and had the child and had her child within 9 months. The father refused to accept responsibility for the child, even after sexually abusing the victim during the pregnancy. And then the daughter, 6 weeks after the baby's birth, had no choice but to take her father to court for child maintenance. It was only then that the authorities investigated the matter thoroughly and confirmed the young girl's claims. The father pleaded not guilty in March 2023, leading all the way to his trial on April 9, 2024, and appeared without legal representation. Things came full circle when attorney Wendell Alexander decided to represent the defendant, who is the father, pro bono. When his lawyer, Mr. Alexander, told him, that's the defendant, that the court would give him a harsher sentence if they found out he is guilty of the offense, reports confirm the defendant was first arrested in 2015, but the case was never fully brought to court. In 2021, however, the father was rearrested and officially charged after the victim took legal action against him for child support. Following his guilty plea on April 9, 2024, the man's bail was revoked, and he is now in custody at His Majesty's prison, awaiting sentencing on May 10, 2024. Judge Justice Anne-Marie Smith expressed shock after listening to the case, stating that this was the most appalling case she had ever encountered. In her report, Antigua-based reporter Charmaine Beek categorizes this case as very serious.
So this man had this young child, and she said, you know, she reported in court that her father, you know, has been having sex with her at a very young age. And she went to school, I think she was as young as 12 at the time. And she went to school and she told her principal that this is what was happening to her at home. And so they removed her from the home, and somehow the father was able to, I don't know, to threaten her, to get her to retract her statement. And that's what she told the court. So she wrote a letter as he instructed her to do. You know, as a young girl, 11, 12, you still think that, of course, your father is your authoritative figure. It's like you do what he says. And, you know, some people may criticize and say, well, why did she write the letter? But at that age, you're still a young child. You're still thinking like a child, rightfully so, because you're a child. And so she wrote the letter and she said, all the things I said about my dad, you know, it wasn't true. You know, I lied. You know, and they put her back in the home. And that very same night, she said that her father came home drunk and he raped her outside of the house, not even inside. You know, he raped her outside in some unfinished concrete structure. The child found out that she was pregnant with her father's child. And so obviously, you can no longer hide pregnancy. She had the baby, and this is so ridiculous. She had the baby and she took her father to court for child support because the baby was growing up and the father refused to give her anything for that child. And so she took her father to court for child support. That is when the authorities picked it up.
Antigua-based reporter Charmaine Beek. You're tuned in with Q95 News. St. Mary's Academy is set to compete against Orion Academy in the upcoming finals of the Inter-Secondary Schools Debating Competition. This is scheduled for April 17th at 11 a.m. At the Truth and Grace Fellowship Global. Organizer Trudy Christian announced that this year's topic will center on economic growth in Dominica, providing students with an opportunity to discuss and debate the most effective strategies moving forward.
The finals of the inter-secondary schools debating competition will take place on April 17th at 11 a.m. at the Truth and Grace Fellowship Global. And of course, this final competition will be happening after a hard-fought debate battle over the past 4 months. And the last schools which remain and who will be competing in the finals are the St. Mary's Academy and the Orion Academy. These both schools have defeated other schools in their quest to gain the title of debate champion of 2024. And both of these schools are very competitive and will be attempting to, you know, out-debate each other in this final debate. The topic for debate is the tourism industry is currently the most valuable tool for economic growth and diversification in Dominica. So the young people will have the opportunity to discuss or to debate on what is the way forward as it relates to economic growth here in Dominica. Is it the tourism industry or is it some other option? And, you know, this promises to be a very, very interesting discussion, a very interesting debate. And I am pretty sure that, you know, the stakeholders of the tourism industry and of, you know, other industries which might be brought up will need to take special note of what the young people have to say on this issue.
Christian remarked that since the competition gained endorsement on the island, schools have been actively engaged.
So the 17th of April, Wednesday, 11 a.m. at the Truth and Grace Fellowship Global, live debate between the St. Mary's Academy and the Orion Academy. The St. Mary's Academy will be represented by Noah Sarendo and Jelani Shillingford, and the Orion Academy will be represented by Diamond Daniel and Ejadi Maxwell. So really, it is gearing up to be a very competitive debate. As it relates to the debate competition and, you know, how it has gone this year, it has been pretty successful. The schools have been rather competitive, and this is the second year of the inter-secondary schools debating competition. Of course, the competition is an annual one, and the intention is to continue next year. My hope really is for next year, we continue with the engagement of the secondary schools. There is one secondary school that has not taken part yet, and I hope to get that secondary school on board next year. They have made a promise, and I hope that they will come on board next year.
She also voiced optimism about securing a headline sponsor for the debating competition, extending her appreciation to the 17 sponsors who have already joined this year's event.
Also, I really hope for next year that we can attract a headline sponsor for the debate. This year, we've had multiple fantastic sponsors, 26 of them to be precise. And next year, I really want, you know, one sponsor to headline and, of course, be supported by, you know, other sponsors. But really and truly, the inter-secondary schools debating competition continues to be a great avenue for young people to really hone their public speaking skills, to really express themselves through the art of persuasive speaking, debating, and, you know, to get a feel of being in the public arena and having their voices heard. So it is a worthwhile endeavor, and I see it continuing very far into the future if it's God's will.
Organizer of the Inter-Secondary Schools Debating Competition, Trudy Christian. In other news, a no-confidence motion brought against the Barbadian Democratic Labour Party President Dr. Ronnie Yearwood and General Secretary Steve Blackett by veteran party member Hartley Reid was stalled by procedural issues but remained over their heads late Thursday. Following a closed-door meeting at the party's George Street headquarters, Blackett, accompanied by Vice President Walter Maloney, said the party's executive council had discovered errors with the motion, which went viral on social media. The motion, which was said to bear a substantial number of signatures, raised concern about Blackett and Yearwood's conduct. It called not only for their removal, but also the resignation of the wider executive council. However, Blackett disclosed that the council found discrepancies with the signatures attached to this motion. The United States has restricted travel for its embassy personnel in Israel amid fears of an attack by Iran. The United States Embassy said staff had been told not to travel outside the Greater Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, or Beersheba areas. Out of an abundance of caution, Iran has vowed to retaliate, blaming Israel for a strike on its consulate in Syria 11 days ago, killing 13 people. Two U.S. officials have told the BBC's U.S. partner CBS News that an attack could come as soon as today. One unnamed official said the attack could include more than 100 drones, dozens of cruise missiles, and perhaps ballistic missiles as well, and will be aimed at military targets in Israel.
For days, we've been talking about those warnings that have come from American officials saying that this Iranian response is a matter of when, not if. And I think the most dramatic warning came from President Biden, who said a day ago that the Iranians were preparing a significant attack. And with that warning came also a threat that the Americans would respond if there was an attack from Iran on Israel. And I think there have been some reports quoting unnamed American officials saying that this could happen in the next few days. So we don't know, how this attack is going to be, what this possible attack is going to look like. The Iranians have been saying that they're going to retaliate. The attack that happened last week in Syria was humiliating for the Iranians. It hit an Iranian diplomatic compound in Damascus. It killed several Iranian military advisors, including a top Iranian general. So I think the Iranians need to be seen to be giving a response, to be doing something. I think the fear here is that the Iranians could launch an attack on Israel. And the Israelis have been saying that any kind of attack that comes from Iran would lead to an Israeli response. So we've seen that Iran has been using its proxies across the region to carry out attacks, including Hezbollah in Lebanon, which has been attacking Israel on a daily basis. But what the Americans are saying is that this is likely to be different, that this is likely to come from Iran itself. So the warnings are there, but we still don't know, how this is going to play out.
And that's the midday news. Here's a recap of our headlines. United Workers Party deputy leader and attorney Ronald Charles calls for the adoption of WHO regulations on universal health care in Dominica.
Big Station, Q95DA.com.
A no-confidence motion against Barbadian Democratic Labour Party President Dr. Ronnie Yearwood and General Secretary Steve Blackett was stalled by procedural issues but hangs over their heads. And the United States has told its embassy personnel in Israel not to travel outside the Greater Jerusalem, Tel Aviv, and Beersheba areas out of an abundance of caution amid fears of an attack by Iran. The news was brought to you with the very kind compliments of Quartz Dominica Limited. My name is Richie Farrell.